Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarky Las Pilipinas podcast.
You're listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Stunning Stancy at your service. To my right, Ravishing Ro Moran, and right across me, Rowdy Raph Camus. It's been a while since all three of us were complete, and it's nice that we're all back.
It felt like a long time
because seriously, so much has happened in the past 2 weeks. We got Pokemon Go, niggas!
Oh yeah, we did. It was actually kind of a surprise, no?
Yeah, dropped on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I was working on a Saturday morning in Cebu, and then all of a sudden, boom, people announced, oh, my girlfriend tells me that, oh, my Pokemon Go na. And then like, are you sure? Because, you know, we were playing the APK before, and then, baka false alarm na naman.
Yeah, and Ro here actually wakes me up. I wake up to the message,
ayun ba yun?
Pokemon Go, right now. So I download it.
I checked Google Play, and it was there.
Yeah, so I downloaded. The first thing I did was to take a screenshot and upload it on the Mellow Like page. Mm. Post went viral within minutes.
What do you mean?
All the comments, all the shares, lot ng likes, all the reactions and shit.
No. I mean, like, which post? I posted
on the Mellow Like page. I said, breaking news, Pokemon Go is live.
Yes.
So
exactly.
I'd like to think that Mellow was one
Did
of the first.
Did you post in the premiere page?
No, but I am cooking.
Your loss.
That's my loss, but I'm cooking something up literally, very figuratively cooking something up.
Ano yung Venn diagram ng market mo and Pokemon Go players?
Meron, actually.
How big
It's actually pretty big considering all of the people that I've seen who are playing in our lobby. And it's ridiculous. Because Saturday morning, I was scheduled to come in to work at about 2. And then my boss was just like, Camus, I need you to research about Pokemon Go now. And I'm like, research? I've been at it since 6 a.m. bus.
Yeah, we're also doing something in the office. I just don't know for which event. Everyone is jumping on the bandwagon.
There's so much... good that can be done. Yes, it's nice, but then let's try and not make this like Clash of the Clans.
What?
You know how?
What about it?
You know how so many people jumped on that bandwagon but didn't really understand it.
I wouldn't know because I still don't understand it. I haven't played the game.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Like,
no.
No, there are so many. Okay, there were so
why would
many.
I play Clash of Clans? I am a self-respecting human being.
No, but there were
who
people
who plays video games that are legit, and I'm gonna play Clash of Clans.
No, I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about when at its peak.
Oh.
At its peak. The only people who jumped on it were the telcos because the telcos were the only ones making money.
Mm.
Yet, so many people were playing and so many people missed out on the opportunity. So now I think
of
this
what?
Is...
Of Clash
of Clash
Clans?
On Clash of Clans,
why?
Yes. Because
I don't
was
get
making
it.
Money. It was making money at the time.
Okay.
At the time.
But it's not... There is no crossover appeal like in Pokemon
Go. Yes, that's why. So... now that you have all of this crossover appeal and now that you can do it so lazily by just launching lure parties.
Yeah.
Seriously, guys, don't just stop at lure parties. Take it from a guy who's worked marketing half his life.
So what are your ideas for other lure parties? Because I have some opinions about the game that affect what kind of business you can do with Pokemon Go. Let's hear you first. You first. So, what are your business ideas?
Yeah,
one of the secrets of the trade is never expose everything you know.
I'm not saying specific ideas.
My thing is really just giving your users a more tangible reason apart from just, oh, let's stop by because they're lures. Because anyone can do that.
Yeah.
If you make them happy, you make Pokestops worth their while incentivizing that.
Yeah.
Then you might have a chance. But the thing is that all of the malls, all of these locations that are jumping on the bandwagon for this, it's being done very hastily.
No, you don't know that. Nah, wala silang plano.
Hindi, baka meron silang
plano. We have, kunyari, for our events, in general, we're planning some, you know, side entertainment for anyone who's trying to drop by and, you know, make use of the lures.
Oh yeah, that's all well and good, but make it worth people's while because this is a good game. There's a lot of good traction coming from it. Positive PR from like people with depression getting out of the house, actually playing along. higher morale for people who have loved Pokemon for so long. I mean, the three of us in this room have been playing since, what, 15 years ago? 16 years ago now?
Yeah, I'm actually really happy that Pokemon Go is out because I have a reason now to get out of the house and walk because I'm not in the office all day. Right? So I have a lot of bum time, downtime at home, and it gives me a reason to just explore my neighborhood. Hell, I made a friend from my actual neighborhood. I actually know someone from my street now.
You did not make a friend. You rediscovered a friend.
Okay, fine. I rediscovered an acquaintance, someone I knew from college who happened to live on my street. And the first thought that came into my head was, "Tang ina, you live in my street. We could have carpooled for 2 years and saved on gas." That was literally the first thing that came into my head.
Fucking Chinese.
No, but it's true. I'm sure you would have thought the same thing, diba, na, if you had to commute on your own or use your own car. Diba? So these were the things that went through my head. And everybody's got this look now. When you have your phone and you're going out and you're playing Pokemon
and
Go.
And it's like Team Valor? Team Valor?
not that look. Stop cutting me off.
Go.
Everyone's got that look now. Yeah, I can't believe I'm doing this too. It's this look of resignation, and at the same time, you're like, "Yeah, well, if you have a problem with that, then go fuck off."
Yeah.
And I went around Promenade yesterday, which is where I caught my Vaporeon. Yeah, I was at Promenade, and there were a lot of kids because they suspended in classes kapon, diba? So there were a lot of them playing Pokemon Go, and the adults there though, they seemed like they were the more antisocial ones, which led me to the conclusion that Pokemon Go is the new smoking. Because you know how it is when you take a Yossi break, you just want those 5 minutes na no one bothers you, no one talks to you.
Okay.
It's kind of like that in Pokemon Go. That's the vibe I get. Na parang, okay, we may know each other in real life, but I'm trying to catch my Eevee, so go fuck off if you want to talk to me.
That's actually kind of an isolated incident. Yeah, when I go out and, you know, siguro it depends on who you know and who you're playing with. Because if you're playing it with your friends, syempre, you know, you're all social.
It's a very social game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Syempre, you don't talk to strangers. Mama told you not to talk to strangers.
Hey, I talked to a stranger in Tokyo yesterday when I was playing. And
you talk to strangers all the time. That's why you're like this.
I was going to say, Stan actually went on a poke walk with his friend, with our high school friends
walk.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Around Ortigas. Yeah,
yeah dude, like, seriously. It's fun. And I love it that, you know, we're looking for reasons to reconnect with friends. And
no, we're not. I just want to play the game.
Yeah,
I just
want
to catch them all, bitch.
Team Valor?
Valor Club worldwide.
Actually, yeah! I don't get why Team Valor is the only club na walang discount.
Oh,
right,
tangin na nyo.
Hey, I actually have
you know what to do, nigga.
I know what to do, and I'm on it.
Valor Club lang,
eh? Valor Club muna.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all these people in Instinct and Mystic make a big deal out of shit.
Oh, like, Jesus Christ. How come 8Cuts gets, you know, gives, no?
Mystic? No, I actually know the reason. I'll talk to you about it off air.
The owner is a loser?
No.
you do know that Sandro Marcus is on Team Mystic.
Really?
Oh,
yes,
fuck that shit. Okay.
I can't believe
Team Mystic, Team Mystic.
Yo, you know what's funny? This is like the second name drop, because like the interview later on gets a Sandro Marcus name drop too.
We really hate Sandro Marcus right now and his family.
I was sorry. I was in the club
political
tensions. Last week.
Last week? Oh, yeah, last week when I dropped you off.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was there. Anyway, no, critique of Pokemon Go. So, here's the thing. It's fun to try and catch, try and catch as many different Pokemon as you can and evolve some of them because some of them aren't available in the wild. I don't know how you get your Vaporeon or your
It just appeared, man. A fuckboy just said, "Uy, pare, may Vaporeon." And I hovered and I just got it.
But seriously, this is the meat of the game. The other meat of the game, which are battling with other trainers, isn't here. And it's
not here yet.
No, it depends on whether they're bringing it to the game at all.
I think they will.
The most battle you get is from a gym. And it's so weird. The battle system is so weird. It's super unfavorable. It's super unfair. And it kind of takes away the fun of
actual
battling until you have a strong enough Pokemon, and then you have to find a gym that you can actually take on.
Yeah, and then even if you're the gym leader, you just leave your Pokemon there to defend the gym. You don't even get to defend it yourself.
Oh.
So that's
how
really
is that
weird.
Even fun? But cause the other half of the fun is fighting other people and, you know, asserting my dominance with my stronger Pokemon.
Or, you know, just really being fucking competitive.
Oh, exactly.
So, which is what Battle Club's all about.
So ganito mangyari. Pag nakuha na natin most of the 151 original Pokemon, what do we do now, right?
Yeah.
I want the fight update. I think that's what I want next.
Yeah, exactly. I want that too because I want them to come up with a sensible fight mechanic for a sensible battle mechanic for
a PvP. A PvP.
We
style.
Are going around and we're not battling each other. We're just going around collecting Pokemon and evolving them.
You know what? I think that's a valid criticism, but on a more shallow level, can I just say, tang ina lang guys, it's not Pokemon's. It's fucking Pokemon.
I was going to get to that.
It's fucking
public
Pokemon.
Public service announcement, tangin na lang. It is fucking Pokemon and has been since,
time immemorial.
Yeah, since 20 years ago.
And
nothing has changed.
I get that there are people being pakul na. You know what? I was never really into Pokemon. You know what? All these people, they're being weird. You're just as weird for making yourself look like a fucking dog.
Or a piece of bread.
I think I posted that.
Or a piece of toast.
Yeah, but it's really sad.
But then my girlfriend has the sense to make herself a piece of toast and play Pokemon Go.
No, I just hate being around people who are like, oh, tangina, not you too, or you're gonna,
because seriously, don't rain on our parade. Don't rain on our parade. We've been waiting.
Alam mo yung mga ganun, di lang nila marun yung Pokemon Go sa phone today.
It's just really annoying when people try to be assertive, or they try to be very assert some ascendancy just because they didn't catch the Pokemon Go bug.
I'm really just salty some other people get better Pokemon than I do in the wild.
Oh, I got a Magmar last night.
Jesus Christ! Fuck you! See, exactly.
Just okay, hanging out at Henderson's house.
Huh?
Where is Henderson?
Across Metro Walk. No.
Walang lures sana dyan.
Yes, I just got a Magmar and I named it Dolly Parton.
Yeah, you did. That was really mature.
But you know what? Sorry. Coming from a guy who lives in Lure City Central.
Yeah, see.
Greenbelt, right across Greenbelt, right across. I work my
Rockwell,
my
yeah.
place of work and my residence.
Fucking Sir Vic got an Electabuzz at Rockwell.
He also got a Charmander at Rockwell. Jesus Fuck him. God. But seriously, I was there all weekend long. I was catching Pidgeys and Rattatas. Seriously, Makati is a barren wasteland for Pidgeys and Rattatas.
There's nothing
it's
more
only
fun.
Sensible. It's only sensible for Makati to have a lot of Rattatas. You know this.
For a reason.
I don't, yes, handshake on air.
No, but you know what? Sorry, there's nothing more fun than waking up, logging onto the Pokemon Go app, and fighting an Eevee in the wild to catch while you're lying face down on your bed. Mm. That is one of the best feelings I've had since Saturday. There, I just wanted to say
better
that.
But again, going back, we need battles.
We need PvP style.
Either we get PvP battles or we get the next generation post-haste. That is the only thing that is going to keep our attention.
Just to contextualize all of this, I did some research.
Oh.
With my tech industry contacts, Niantic is apparently run by under 200 staff members.
Sure, I'm not.
And it's worrisome. That. It's worrisome that their servers are already overloading as we speak.
Yeah,
like Manila servers are ridiculously overloaded because they're dami. And it's really not helping the gaming experience. But at the end of the day,
it's fine.
At the end of the day, if we say, after Christmas or around Christmas time, we get that update, we get new Pokemon, which I don't think is too hard to program, but what I do think is the problem is just servers and having enough server hardware to begin with, that might solve their
issues. Problem, because with the reason why I bring up the critique of what you can do in the game is because if we get to Christmas and people are still interested in playing it, that would be a miracle. And then nothing is new with the game. I'm sure you would have caught most Pokemon you can catch here.
Yeah, I think that, the saturation point is about 2 months out from now.
I guess
2 months out from now without any updates or without any significant changes to the game. Which, honestly speaking, is more than enough time for Niantic to get their shit together for the most part. I mean, they have their shit together right now. They have $200 million coming their way from just pure revenue streams. And I think, if they put that money to good use, we get updates. And we get updates that we want.
Yes, soon. Because we need to battle.
We can't demand. We can't demand right now. We've had it for a week. That's a little spoiled. And speaking of spoiled, our guests later.
Yeah.
Our
guests later are two of the most spoiled brats you'll ever come across. Johan and Logan Olores, you may have come across them at PWR Live. The Showdown, the YOLO Twins, will be in in this episode of the SGB podcast. And we'll get to know them a little bit better in just a bit. But before that, we've got to talk about things that have happened in the world of wrestling since we did spend, 13, 14 minutes on Pokemon Go. We might as well talk about the Cruiserweight Classic, because we haven't talked about CWC in quite some time. So we're recording this on a Thursday night. And round two of the Cruiserweight Classic just began earlier. I've been writing the reviews for Smart Henry, and I've been saying that Gargano Ciampa has been the most must-see match so far. I am now taking that back and bestowing that honor upon Cedric Alexander versus Kota Ibushi.
But up until last week, that match was one of the most hard-hitting that we've seen in this iteration of the Cruiserweight Classic. And it is... That match. Okay, let's talk about that match first, since chronologically that happened first.
Yeah, you know what? When it comes to the Gargano Ciampa match, yung importante dun was the fact that it had a story coming in.
Yes,
there was a story.
There's
built
a pre-established
in,
story.
Yeah, a pre-established story outside the Cruiserweight Classic. Among all the first round matchups, yun lang talaga yung may existing story na within WWE lore. So they brought that in and they hyped it up the way we thought they were going to hype it up. And at the end of the day, we were like, well, so much for TJ Perkins' chances of winning.
No, well, I wouldn't say so just yet. Because that ending segment of that match and the surrounding story opens up the possibility of, you know, someone costing Gargano the match whenever that would be.
Well, it's going to be 2 weeks from now. Gargano versus TJP is going to be 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Right. It's not next week.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know what's really fun about that match in itself? It's just that they really went all out. That's a pay-per-view level match. Like, we were talking about it off-air, a week ago?
Pay-per-view. Maybe like a takeover.
I would call it a pay-per-view level match.
The way
they did it, the story and all that, pang pay-per-view siya.
Because what if you guys haven't seen Gargano and Ciampa outside of NXT, these two guys are really, really, really good singles wrestlers on their own. And see, this would be your first real exposure to them as singles wrestlers in WWE.
Hindi naman. I mean, they've competed as single stars in NXT. It's just that hindi sila masyado pinagtutunan na
pansin. Yeah.
Right, kasi they're featured more as a tag team. But
this showcase, I have to call it a showcase at this point because it was that good.
Yeah. I'm not going to take that away from them. Gargano Ciampa, for all intents and purposes, was really, really good. But we can't sleep on the likes of Jack Gallagher.
Mm, of course.
Jack Gallagher was really good as well.
Really good. Smooth as fuck, man.
Chame character siya. Like, that's something that not a lot of the cruiserweights in the first round actually had.
That's not true.
Ho Ho Lun didn't have a character.
Yes, he did.
He was a generic Asian kid.
No, Asian kid who founded Hong Kong wrestling.
They have characterization. It's just not as deep as we want it to be.
There is varying degrees of fleshing out.
Yung kay Jack Gallagher, for some reason, it came across more sophisticated than everyone else. And that's because of the way that they presented him pala sa pre-match videos.
And the way that he presented himself. So that's credit to Jack Gallagher, the man, as well.
Yeah. So he was one of the standouts, I'd have to say, from like that last batch of first round matchups.
I'm pretty sad that people have to, people cannot find themselves to like technical wrestling as a whole.
Oh God, you know? Yeah. Let's open this discussion.
Okay, let's open up this discussion. I've heard people not like what Zack Sabre did in his first round match because it's purely technical, but it's not.
But it's
all that he can do it.
Yeah, it's laying the groundwork for him.
It's emphasizing what he can do best. Sure, you can see something else from him when you watch a match like Zack Sabre versus Shibata, but obviously you only have 10 minutes to showcase escapology.
20 minutes, kumba. If we're playing, I mean. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then Jack Gallagher, who is a fine technical wrestler, catch wrestler by himself on his own merits, but he adds a little more striking. And I get that being a versatile wrestler works more to your favor, but I'm just sad as a lover of technical wrestling, people have to dilute their experience, I guess.
I don't know. I think my point is in Amaro and Daniel Bryan when they say that technical wrestling is not for everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
I know it's not.
It's not everyone's cup of tea.
I'm going so far to say that it is for a higher level of intelligence.
No, it's not for everyone, and I kind of get where people are coming from. It's just that I want people to give it a chance. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why I enjoy it. I just really do.
It's the smartest wrestling you can watch.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's very cerebral.
It's very cerebral at the end of the day. But you have to remember that wrestling, wrestling at its core, at its amateur level, at the judo, sambo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu level.
Roman, Greco-Roman. Greco-Roman,
if you want to include that, yes, because it's really, that's what it is. You try to submit a guy, pin a guy, get him down using these maneuvers. And that's the core of wrestling. That's the origin of all of this. Not striking, not high-flying, but that's...
I mean, I love that.
Yes, we love those aspects, but then that's root stuff.
No, there's beauty in the deliberate, being deliberate of the actions. Like, let's say if you see someone target an arm, they spend the entire match just working the arm, leading to a submission that targets the arm. That for me is something that's so underappreciated and underrated, diba? Kasi makikita mo yung, doon mo makikita yung psychology talaga.
And that's something that, you know, American Dragon Daniel Bryan was really, really fun to watch at. Even though he'd strike the shit out of people, when he'd pull his technical stuff, that was... Oh man, that's where he really made his name.
You know what
the most
ridiculous criticism I've heard of Zack Sabre
is?
People don't like him because he makes it look too easy.
But it's so difficult.
Yeah, exactly. And it's it is at this point when I hear that, when I hear them saying that he makes it look too easy, that it looks choreographed, it doesn't look like a real fight.
Do you know how difficult shit is
exactly
to pull?
And this is where I realized that, okay, you people really don't know what you're talking about. Like, okay, you can have your own particular taste of what you want to watch, but to insinuate that this man does not know how to fight.
Holy shit, watch his matches in Rev Pro.
It's not as rough as, you know, a real MMA fight where nothing is ever that fluid.
Nothing is fluid in an MMA fight.
Exactly. Maybe that's the main issue, but still, to deride a man for being so good that he makes what he does look easy
It's nonsensical. I mean, okay, just addendum points for all of this. For everyone who's making these arguments that, you know, technical wrestling is not for you, the stuff that Shinsuke Nakamura pulls off is incredibly technical.
Yep.
The stuff that... Sakuraba.
Not, when he's not, you know, kneeing the shit out of
you. Yeah. The stuff that Sakuraba and NJPW is doing is incredibly technical.
Heel Eddie Guerrero was very technical.
Heel Eddie Guerrero, ECW Eddie Guerrero, actually most of Cruiserweight Eddie Guerrero run was highly technical, even though he was slamming the shit out of people.
Yeah. So when you think about it, a lot of the smarky favorites, the IWC favorites, actually have
Daniel Bryan, a decent
technical background at best. Exactly. Since you mentioned Daniel Bryan, I just got to mention this. We've talked at length about how he really adds to the viewing experience of the CWC.
Because he's such a fan.
No, it's not just that he's a fan.
He's
able
smart.
He's able to break it down in a way that anyone can understand. For example, I loved his explanation of the side hammerlock.
Yes,
which he did kanina. The way he explained it was, it cuts off your circulation, it makes it hard for you to breathe, yung face mo parang pinipisil siya. So I never appreciated rest holds as much as I did when Daniel Bryan explained it.
Quote unquote rest holds.
Yeah, sorry, quote unquote rest holds, because I am not a wrestler.
Yes.
So these are terms I pick up. And when I see a rest hold being applied, I'm like, oh, they're probably taking a break. And having Daniel Bryan explain it the way he did made me change my perspective on the matter.
I remember I think it was Taz who used to do that for SmackDown. That's how I know stuff like that, eh?
Yeah.
In the old SmackDown when, you know,
when it was really, really, really good.
Exactly. Yeah. He knows how to explain that shit. He is a submission machine after all.
And you know, just to bring it back.
I miss Taz. Old Taz.
TNA Taz is not
bitter
fun.
Salty Taz.
Yeah, it's not TNA Taz. Jesus
God
Christ.
Damn it. Okay, but just another aside about Daniel Bryan on commentary. He makes, you know, he's so excitable in matches, and then he marks out really hard, and then yet Mauro reels him in, and then it just feels so natural that I just want these guys to commentate forever.
Actually, Daniel Bryan's like the little kid in the candy store.
Yeah.
Kasi Mario yung tito na parang, okay.
Okay.
Tara na.
Hindi lang tara na. Parang like, let's get one more.
Yeah.
One more. You've had your fun. Let's leave. But seriously, this is the best on-screen pairing right now.
Yeah, right now.
The best possible commentating in the new era. So, props to
the
them.
Best possible since Tom Phillips and Corey Graves.
Yeah, actually, on NXT. We got to talk about Ibushi versus Alexander.
Oh my God.
I think this is a match that people will keep talking about for the next week.
Okay. Just to set it up. Yeah. Cedric Alexander was a recent ROH release. He was released by ROH.
Yeah, for this, pretty much.
The guy cut so much weight. Because if you saw him before, if you saw him in ROH,
he was kind of chubby.
He was kind of chubby the past 2 years. Mm. And Cedric Alexander
He was great, but he was kind of chubby.
He's spot monkey supreme. Mm-mm. He was the spot monkey of ROH for a long while. Like, he's that... how do you say this? He's that guy that they would throw into these matches that, you know, didn't really make sense, but he made it exciting.
So, parang siyang Dolph Ziggler.
Actually, no, I would just call him the new age, this generation's Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, somewhere along that the lines of that. For
who,
him,
by the way, also was in ROH at the same time.
At the same time, actually, that Cedric Alexander was so much fun to watch, especially when he was teaming with ACH. Mm. That was fun to watch because two spot monkeys, put them together, two great black guys, let them run through people. It's fun. For him to be on CWC to begin with was really big deal for me. But when this match against Kota Ibushi, a guy who also just got released from NJPW,
asked for his release
in this case, went this good for this long. Holy shit, man. I did not see this being this good.
Okay. All right. My turn.
Enough.
My turn. I will not disagree that the match was good. Obviously, you put Kota Ibushi and Cedric Alexander together, the match is always going to be good. But fuck Kota Ibushi.
Fuck Ibushi.
Yeah,
man.
Fuck you.
Fuck Ibushi.
Fuck you, Golden Star. First of all, this tournament, you know, is going to be hashtag Ibushi wins long.
Or ZSJ wins. Low.
No, it's Ibushi, I don't think so.
Because ZSJ is not signing with WWE just yet.
Not yet. It's Ibushi wins all, and you know this. You have a marketable guy in Kota Ibushi. Who can fly around like crazy. Looks great. Looks like a fucking
can
K-pop.
Strike like
K-pop
a fucking
idol. Yeah.
Master.
Looks like a fucking Olympic swimmer, and is totally marketable to all the young fans. He's pretty much the Asian John Cena or Randy Orton. And then,
I'd go Randy Orton more than Cena.
No,
though.
Cena.
Okay.
Except that he can't talk because he's Japanese. But fuck Kota Ibushi. Cedric Alexander was robbed in this
match. Robbed. God damn it.
Ibushi is a fucking idiot. You know that? I mean, he is pretty much like, in many ways, like Dolph Ziggler, who takes all
unnecessary risks
with all these stupid bumps and flying around. That it's great to watch if you're an uneducated fan who just wants to see the flashy stuff. But if you are a wrestler trying to, or a wrestler in training, or even empathic enough as a fan to realize that, oh, wrestlers are putting it all on the line whenever they're in the ring, you realize that Kota Ibushi does not need to do all that stuff.
There's a level of discomfort that takes over me when I see him take all these neck bumps.
Oh. Especially
there
when
were multiple neck bumps.
Yes. Especially when you consider that he walked away from NJPW looking for a safer way
environment
to wrestle.
Yes,
because he has been injured for so many times
and for long lengths of time.
Exactly.
Well.
And when you see this,
it's
match,
a herniated disc.
Yeah.
When you see this match with Cedric Alexander, you realize, oh shit, that's why Kota Ibushi keeps getting injured.
Actually, in first round palang.
Oh yeah.
The first round was fine. He was being too flippy than was necessary.
Yeah, exactly. But it was the first round main event was like 10 minutes, so you don't get to see much. And pantay naman yung office ni Sean Maluta. But for this one, when you see all the fucking flips he takes, you realize that why do you have to do this to yourself? Why are you like this?
There's like a ceiling kasi for tolerance for flippy shit before it becomes you're exceeding it.
I'm not even going to the point na okay, he is like Cena, by the way, because he keeps kicking out of all of Cedric Alexander's big moves.
God damn.
And
that's another thing.
Yeah, diba?
But this is nitpicking, listeners.
Because it made Cedric look really weak. I mean, not super weak,
but
not good
not
enough
as
to
good,
finish the
exactly.
job.
Exactly.
Did he get to do a lumber check? I can't remember.
No, he didn't.
Well, at least he didn't, ruin his finisher.
Okay.
You know what? There were a lot of spots there. Now, like I've been saying, Ganina, were cringeworthy. The neck bumps were some of them. There was
dude took a fucking brain buster.
No, there was that missed golden
and
something moonsault.
Up.
that golden triangle moonsault.
Golden triangle moonsault.
Yeah. Outside the ring. Outside the ring. So that happens. I'm like, putangina. And I said, putangina for the wrong reason. Because I wanted to say that.
He landed on his feet, but he couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't land on his feet. Exactly.
Yeah, he looked like he almost got knocked out. Right? Yeah. And then after that, he took a plancha from Cedric Alexander.
For a suicide dive. I don't mind that people. You know, wrestlers or spot monkeys are they like the high spots. They like flying around. But there is a time and place under the sun.
Yes, and although it does add to the value of CWC, it does fit within the brand character. It just makes me cringe, man.
I just realized that if Kota Ibushi is going to be this idiot who risks his entire life and career, might as well have given it to Cedric Alexander.
God damn, yeah. Because seriously, Cedric Alexander is the more controlled spot monkey in this case.
Yes.
And that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot.
He was really great, though.
He was really great. I mean, seriously, for those of you who haven't read the online spoilers, Triple H did come out after this match to congratulate the two.
Thank you for going there, because I think he called an audible and realized that, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't have booked these two against each other this early.
Because seriously, even with the brackets being what they are, there were, you know, the way that it would play out in a scenario like a bracketology.
Can we open the brackets right now?
Yeah, let's open up the brackets.
Let's see where we can move this around.
It's kind of worrisome with the way that things are leading up, because in most tournaments, like say King of the Rings or what? The
Super J Cups,
G1 Climaxes.
Japan Cup.
You sort of see how these things might go at this phase. Once you're out of the first round, you've got a lot of the surprises out of the way. You sort of see where they might go with this. Like we said earlier, Lol Ibushi wins is a very likely scenario.
It is super likely.
It is super likely.
Ibushi
and it's
super marketable.
Yes, and that's true. But the way that the brackets are lined up, and here we go, Mr.
Yo, stop fucking pressuring me. Third world.
I saw it now. I was like,
Triple H coming out after the end. Realized that, oh shit. And then possibly signing Cedric Alexander to a
NXT
contract
deal
right there.
Right there. That would have made so much sense, because
I think that was what it was.
I don't know. I hope that's what it was, because Cedric Alexander actually deserved it.
Yeah, he did. I'll admit,
I haven't seen any of his work prior to the CWC, but those two matches alone turned me into a fan. Like, yeah. I really want to see a whole lot of his work.
I could have sacrificed Tony Nese and then maybe Noam Dar.
Noam Dar is great,
but he wasn't, you know, unless he does better in the second round.
I think he will.
I hope so.
Against Ho Lan?
Oh god!
Oh yes, god! Oh shit! Wait, that's the matchup.
Yeah, that's the matchup, and that's next week.
Yeah.
So next week you get.
Can we just say, have I mentioned this? That we should have gotten Jason Lee instead.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think
that was last
mentioned
week.
It.
So
yeah. No, you didn't mention it on air.
So next week you get Tozawa Gallagher, Noam Dar, and Ho Ho Lun, and Brian Kendrick versus Tony Nese.
Speaking of Brian Kendrick, fucking Raul Mendoza was
robbed. Also,
fucking
sorry,
robbed.
I think Mendoza gets an NXT contract.
Sana, because you know, between Tajiri and Brian Kendrick, I would rather have Tajiri underdog veteran.
But they needed big name stars
Brian
in the
Kendrick.
Second
I was
round.
Not impressed by
no,
Brian
no, no, no.
Kendrick.
They needed someone who can speak in English. Yun lang yun. Even if Tajiri speaks English, even if Tajiri speaks in English, you think that it would be very compelling. Mas compelling pa rin yung I was trained by Shawn Michaels. I was on top of the world and I blew it all. Tajiri can't replicate that.
I was
shit.
Super not impressed by TBK.
Oh, okay lang. I mean, I was more impressed by Tony Nese.
Sure. Tony Nese is great.
I would sacrifice him. I would sign him to NXT.
All right. Who are our picks for the quarterfinals? So we already have.
Wait, quarterfinals or yung final four?
Final four, okay. Final four.
Because if final four, I would have Tozawa coming out of his bracket.
No way, I would not have Tozawa.
I think it's Tozawa coming out of his bracket.
I don't think so.
Tozawa versus Gallagher yung next week. I think it's Tozawa.
Somebody has to sign up para sila.
It's either Tozawa or Grand Metalik at this point. I'm putting my money on Tozawa.
I give it to Tozawa.
I don't see it.
Okay, so the upper left-hand bracket is either Tozawa or...
Metalik. Yeah.
I think it's Tozawa.
Lower left is ZSJ for sure.
Of course, yeah.
Upper right is probably going to be Brian Ken... Ibushi na. Yeah, it's Ibushi's bracket.
Ibushi, oh, it's Ibushi's bracket.
And then lower right, dun tayo magkaka-arguments.
Well, it depends on what we see in 2 weeks. You say if Gargano doesn't get screwed.
So it's Gargano, TJ Perkins versus...
Lindsay Dorado and Jason Lee.
If Gargano isn't getting screwed, it's either TJ or Rich Swann.
Oh my God, yeah, Rich Swann's in this bracket. I forgot.
Yeah, so...
So Rich Swann...
I actually spent time talking to Ray Morales, friend from Bellflower. Right. Yeah, so Ray and I had a good conversation at like 2:30 a.m. and I was like, "Tangina man, I just watched Gargano Ciampa and I feel so bad because that means TJ is gonna lose." And he's like, "No man, may tiwala pa rin ako. You don't give TJ Perkins 7 minutes in bracketology just to have him lose
that
in the second
true.
Round."
That is true though, but I really okay. Sorry, TJ's our boy. TJ's hometown hero of sorts. But the thing with TJ is that what worries me for him is just that Gargano looked so good.
Here's the thing though, I don't think Gargano needs this. That's also what gives me hope. Like Ray.
Why?
Have you seen NXT this week?
Yeah, no. that's why we were gonna say.
Because NXT this week establishes Gargano and Ciampa as the new number one contenders against the Revival.
Oh, exactly.
And then they build off of Gargano and Ciampa's match and how that supposedly shouldn't take away from their friendship, from their partnership as a tag team. And according to NXT canon, at least, yung common goal na nila is to beat the Revival at Brooklyn.
Okay.
So that being said,
they're getting screwed. Yeah.
There might be a chance nga na Perkins beats Gargano in 2 weeks.
Okay, well, fingers crossed.
They're already booked for NXT.
Yes.
For NXT.
Well, I hope to God.
It might be a long-term program between Gargano Ciampa and the Revival.
Okay, sana.
Sana.
Okay,
sana.
That's what TJ Perkins has going for him.
Okay, so fingers crossed for Kuya TJ. Can he walk out for the round of four? Can he walk out against... Rich Swann, I think.
No, if it's the round of four, the final four, Kota Ibushi, sure.
No. So it would end up being TJ versus
Kota Ibushi.
God damn! And then at that point, he gets sacrificed.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that. But if he makes the final four, good God, that would be a great story. That would be a great story. I'm sorry, because you know I want him to get signed.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in this tournament need to get signed.
Okay, so let's run them down.
No, I don't think we have to.
Okay.
Here's my problem, though. Raw, as it is already stacked for a 3-hour show. And that's considering that the Cruiserweight division is still coming to Raw.
Yes.
Right? So the only way I can see this actually happening is if they book the program Lucha Underground style, where storylines get advanced every other week. And we're seeing a bit of that right now. Because if you notice, Sami Zayn was not on Raw this week.
So he has to be there next week.
He doesn't really have an opponent right now because Kevin Owens is now feuding with Enzo and Cass alongside Jericho, diba?
That's a whole other topic, but yeah, let's go.
No,
Canadads.
Yeah, the Canadads. Or Team Canadad. The point I'm trying to raise is maybe they're going in the right direction by not, say, saturating us with too much Sami Zayn.
That's good.
True. Which I like, actually.
Because I wonder when Sami's coming out tonight, and then I realize, main event na, there's no Sami Zayn. So I'm like, okay, this is a welcome change, right? And then at the same time, you get Cesaro Sheamus for like the second week in a row.
Sadly.
So it's still very inconsistent is what I'm trying to point out.
Because I think that the way that this is leading up is that towards end of the year, like say November, December-ish, once the cruiserweights do come up.
I have no idea what the timetable is, so I can't assume anything.
Well, let's prognosticate just a bit.
I'd rather not because I really don't know.
Okay, so when this does happen, once this development of the cruiserweight division does come to fruition on Raw, if they go that way, that it's like major storyline this week, cruiserweights next week, tag team division focus next week, women's division that time. It's not
3 hours, Jesus Christ.
It's not so hard to see that they would cut up in like, okay, we have 1 hour for cruiserweights, something like that.
But that they naman yung ginagawa nila with ano with WCW.
Old school, yeah, with old school WCW.
But they only had like 1 hour then.
Yes. So I think if they give everyone just enough time to breathe, cut the filler to a degree. I mean, what's Raw without some filler? But
they're not going to cut out the filler. I mean, the Puff Daddies will keep coming out.
P. Diddy.
He's known as Puff Daddy right now.
He's Puff Daddy again?
He's Puff Daddy again?
Yes, he's Puff Daddy
again.
When did this happen? I'm sorry.
I don't know, but he's Puff Daddy again.
I know.
I thought he was still Diddy, just Diddy, without the P.
He dropped
the D, the D,
he
the
dropped that years ago.
Did he get a new child? What's going on?
Di ko alam. But he's Puff Daddy again.
Jesus.
Anyway, let's talk about Raw really quickly. Raw and SmackDown, actually. Raw and SmackDown as a whole have been great. Kasi nga, it still feels fresh. It still feels new. Even though there are still some points that really just make me want to cringe. Like, example, Roman Reigns, Rusev. While on the surface, it's a great move for Roman Reigns because it takes him out of the main event scene. So you can, as a Roman Reigns hater, you can feel like, oy, pinaparusahan si Roman. But at the same time, you're like, they're trying to still shoehorn him into this babyface role because he's the American going up against the Bulgarian in Rusev, diba? He comes out, fucking destroys the wedding ceremony.
Why?
And yeah, for what
because
reason?
Because he's an angry Samoan.
No. Because he wanted to be Rusev's best man.
He wanted what?
Yes. He wanted to be Rusev's best man. So, I mean, you can't have a wedding ceremony without a best man. So let me be your best man and let me offer
because
a toast.
Because he's the man.
I guess.
And then during his toast, he calls Lana a mail order bride.
Jesus Christ! What? That is uncalled
for. That's I don't get it. If you're trying to push him as a babyface, we can all root for. No, why are we going back to these slut shaming misogynistic kids from the Rock's era, from Austin's era?
Way of thinking.
That's the only way that Vince works, man.
It's annoying. It really just pisses me off. Because as much as I want to give Roman a chance, because the Roman Rusev feud on the surface
could be good. Could be good.
I was willing to buy into it, but after this week's segment, I just want to shit all over it again.
It works better if you reconfigure and realize that Rusev has always been the face all this time, and Roman is the dick.
It's just a reorientation at the end of the day.
But when you think about it, all Rusev wants to do is to win championships
and be happy
with this woman and live his own life
in Memphis.
Pinapakialaman lang natin siyang lahat.
Maybe Roman is like the embodiment of all the lonely smarks in the world. Now, I can't have Lana because she's now with a bear.
We're calling him a bear.
So yeah,
a Bulgarian bear.
I really take exception to what they did this week with that segment. I just think it was so stupid. But the story I am liking though is Dean Dolph on SmackDown.
Dean Dolph on SmackDown is
the story
is
I like best.
No, it's not the story I like best.
What's the story you like best?
Heath Slater.
Oh yeah.
Heath Slater is compelling, man. It's good.
You know what's the best part about the Heath Slater story? It started out as a joke.
It was a throwaway joke.
It turned into something
so much more. It's like that those 2 weeks that we had consumable Kane.
What?
That we enjoyed watching Kane.
Right, okay.
You remember that last year? There was a 2 week span where Kane was actually relevant again.
Because he was switching between corporate Kane and Dean Kane.
Right,
fucking with everyone.
Right.
And we thought, okay, this is just another throwaway, and then Big Dog, oh hey, this is actually good.
No, what's nice about the Heath Slater arc so far is that he's made us care about Jinder Mahal. He's made us care about Rhino. He's made us care about he got his own fucking t-shirt that says free agent.
Exactly.
So he was almost signed this week.
Yes. Oh, so close. We would have given you a contract, but you didn't want it? Okay, walk away.
I mean, I wanted to flip a table. Ikaw pa yung nag-amok eh. So yeah, it is a great story.
10 kids.
2 kids, 7 kids, 10 kids.
Even the Eva Marie story is actually pretty nice.
It's good what they're doing on SmackDown.
Almost got boobs,
but the thing is I can't wait for the payoff because seriously, this would be what's this now? 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3
weeks.
3
weeks running.
Yep.
3 weeks running of from
Concord, California.
And then it turns out the dude was doing it live.
I think he is doing it live.
The voiceover dude, I don't know.
Who's this voiceover dude? Because seriously, he's pretty good.
Probably a network talent.
He's not bad.
The PPV video montage.
Or he's probably a radio personality.
It's not bad. It's pretty solid. And, you know, it's interesting to hear another announcer doing this thing. I'm just a fan of that stuff.
Someone has to do that here. Ito mga throwaway stories, they matter.
Yes.
Because we're talking about them. And exactly. We're enjoying them, right?
We're enjoying it more than we are, say, for example...
SmackDown is a better show right now. SmackDown looks like it lost in the draft, but they're doing...
They're winning!
No.
Hashtag winning!
They're doing it much better after the draft.
No, I think it's because SmackDown as a show is tighter than it.
Oh, sure.
There are less promos, there's less time, and you know where everyone fits in.
2 hours fits.
You know where everyone fits in, unlike Raw, 3 hours na biglang there's a random Titus Darren match to continue their feud, you know, and then you suddenly go to Charlotte Sasha, and then... Sasha interacts with Enzo Amore and Cesaro Sheamus happens again. So, you know, must weird you Raw that way.
Yeah.
SmackDown makes a lot of makes a lot of use of video packages. That's really good.
Yes.
Like, we don't get AJ and Cena today. It's fine because, you know, you get a recap of what they did.
Yeah, it works.
Ang ayaw ko lang is that SmackDown still has Raw recaps.
Not so bad.
Not as much as before.
Yeah. But they're also getting Smack Talk.
Smack Talk is in it.
Talking Smack.
Talking Smack.
Well, there. That show is great.
I think Talking Smack only is only worth a damn because of Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Especially yung sinabi niya about AJ Styles and Cena's promo from last week.
God, that was good. But that's what makes SmackDown a little bit more compelling for me as a network viewer, because you get Talking Smack and it's fun to watch, man. And it just highlights again the value of Daniel Bryan.
Let's switch gears a bit and talk about Dean Ambrose really quickly before we head into the YOLO Twins interview. Because I want to bring up your Stone Cold podcast. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen bits
of
it.
You've heard the highlights. I've seen like the first third of it. The first third of it. It's
probably
pretty
downloaded
awkward.
Now.
It's pretty awkward.
Because these are two guys who mutually respect the shit out of each other, huh?
No, it's not that. It's that Austin has made a podcasting career out of asking the tough questions and not pussyfooting.
Yeah.
He really does his best not to pussyfoot. And yet with Dean Ambrose, even though he tries to ask the questions directly, there's a lot of pussyfooting that goes on.
Yep.
And Dean Ambrose actively tries to push him away. So this awkward tango that you see between Ambrose and Austin is just entertaining to watch. It's entertaining to watch in a very sadistic manner.
It's hate watching.
I'm going to listen to the Steve Austin podcast interview and see whether he comments on it. You know, if he comments on it before he gets into the actual interview.
Okay, cool.
I would love that. I would love to see that because. I mean, I interview people for a living. You interview people for a living. So you know how it is, but when you're in an awkward situation like that.
Yeah, right? I mean...
Yes. Super.
It gets really, really bad, you know.
Yeah, so...
You're just trying to save it. No, you just experienced this with me.
Yes. So, you know, in a way, I kind of feel for Austin. I feel really bad. Na parang, he's in a very tight spot. He's probably sweating his armpits or some shit. And you just feel horrible. Because you know Dean Ambrose has a story, and yet he's trying his best to
cut it off.
To cut him off, yeah.
Yeah.
So there.
Oh, man.
I'm going to listen to it right now. I'm going to download it right now, actually.
All
right. On my podcast app.
I do want to... let's talk a bit about NXT. Just a bit. Because there has been a lot of shit going down.
Sure. Did you talk about Bobby Roode last week?
No, we did not.
No, we did not.
Last week was all review.
Oh. Okay.
Last week was all review. Because, seriously, Bobby fucking Roode comes out.
Sorry, YOLO Twins, but we got to talk about Bobby Roode.
Yeah, we really have to talk about Bobby Roode, like, before we get to you. Because, like, I mean, we're going to get to that eventually. But, really, Bobby fucking Roode with his new theme song and all.
And it's become a meme. Yun yung maganda. Nah, you know, he plays along with it. He's actually part of the meme. Gargano and Ciampa
are the biggest promoters of this shit. And
they're the only ones. I thought other people were doing it.
No, sila lang. And fans.
It's just so good. Like, the theme song just hits you. I don't understand.
You know why? Theme song is very reminiscent of Christian's first single.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. See. I will agree with this.
So that's part of the appeal. Nah, you know, you have that chorus singing in Glorious and stuff. And then
Glorious!
See Bobby Roode when he comes out, perfect in yung timing niya. When he spreads his arms, that's when the Glorious
hits.
Yeah. Oh, that's when the lyric hits. He's clearly practiced it. And the way he does it is...
Like Nakamura did, yeah.
Yeah. Napaka
but then again,
prepared din niya.
Yeah, but then again, Nakamura's had so much time to practice this shit.
Yeah.
See Bobby Roode, there's something really fun about watching him last week when he first came out, and you know, he tried to put on that babyface promo, and then he was actually trying to irritate you little by little until he could turn heel fully. It was great.
Well, it's not really.
Thank you, by the way, for not booking Bobby Roode as the triumphant, you know, indie star coming to NXT.
He's not.
Because No, he is. Actually, he is. But it's time to start moving away from that trope. For all the indie guys,
for all intents and purposes,
fucking Shen Almas is suffering because of this.
Yes, that's true.
Pero sila magkalaban. It's ACA and Bobby
Roode.
Yeah,
but he's suffering from, I don't know, because you know that ACA is supposed to be a heel anyway.
Even TM61 is suffering because of that.
Yeah, because people assume that TM61 as
is the greatest shit.
Yeah, but they're not.
I mean, they're good. I'd say good. Good.
Right,
right,
sure.
Right now.
Good. All right, fine, good.
Because with TM61, when they were TMDK, there was so much more to them.
I'll just say this about NXT. Brooklyn is actually a stacked card right now.
When is Brooklyn?
It's the day before SummerSlam.
This month.
Yes,
Jesus
this month.
Christ.
So you have five matches already announced. So you have Joe versus Nakamura for the NXT Championship.
Which is going to be the shit.
Bayley versus Asuka for the Women's Championship.
It's also going to be the shit.
Gargano Ciampa versus The Revival
which
for the Tag
be
Team
such
Championship.
Good shit.
And then your undercard matches are Austin Aries versus No Way Jose and Bobby Roode versus ACA. Tapos that doesn't even count the authors of pain
dream.
If they're actually going to be appearing or if they get to have their little blow off against TM61.
Okay.
So it's gonna be lit come Brooklyn.
Okay, you know I think we can man, it's like I want to get to this interview, but then like
so much to talk about.
So much to talk about this week.
The fact that Samoa Joe's real feud is not with Nakamura.
It's not.
It's with William Regal.
Exactly, and it's nice to see that Regal has been getting his hands dirty now. Because like really before you always got that feel that you know Regal was just being Mr. William Regal's I will dictate, and then now you have Samoa Joe actually pushing his weight around, literally speaking, and it's nice.
You calling him fat now?
No.
Okay,
I'm calling him a heavyweight, yes, but not fat.
Sure,
he can push his weight around as he wants because he does it so well. And I really want to see Regal possibly get in the ring one time with Joe.
It's probably not going to happen.
One time with Joe.
I'm not going to put my money on
me
that.
Me neither. Unless, you know, Regal gets back in fighting shape.
But that would be... Wouldn't that be something, though? Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it'll be something, but it's not within the realm of possibility right now.
Oh, man. Well, okay. So, picks of the week?
All right.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Picks of the week.
Well, so sorry, YOLO
like,
twins.
It's like, you know, it's... God.
Yeah,
it's,
we're close to an hour, and I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, they're just waiting in the other room anyway, but...
Yeah.
You know, let's get the picks of the week. I mean, like, we can always... I mean, they have time. They're students.
Yeah. Sure. I'll get mine out of the way.
Classes have been suspended, so...
I'm sure,
guys,
they cut I'm sure they cut class all the time anyway.
Well, let's just talk to them after the show. I mean, like, seriously, I know they'll understand...
Sure.
All right. Picks of the week.
My pick of the week is Kota Ibushi versus Cedric Alexander. That was a gimme.
My pick of the week was from last week's CWC, Gargano versus Ciampa. Great match. 5 stars. Do watch it.
Since you picked all the good stuff anyway, I'm going to go with Grand Metalik versus Tajiri.
Very good match.
Really good.
Very good match.
I kind of wanted, you know, I wanted Tajiri to be the underdog veteran who moves forward, not Brian Kendrick. But I guess Grand Metalik was as good a choice as any.
And, you know, you had another Japanese guy advancing that in Tozawa, presumably.
Or Ibushi, yeah.
Or Ibushi. No, Ibushi moves forward. But the thing is, you know, Tajiri, I don't know how much he has left with WWE.
Mm-hmm. No, but he has a contract with them. Like, even after CWC, he will be working with them. So, presumably, he ends up on Raw after this.
Okay. I'd enjoy that. Limited schedule, though. I want to see him on a limited schedule. Special attraction type thing.
All right.
You know, because like Tajiri is up there in miles, but it doesn't show that much.
That's because of his wrestling style.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't fly around. He doesn't take as many risks as, say, Ibushi.
Ibushi. Yeah. But, and the thing is that his kicks still look so good.
Yeah.
After all these years, walang kupas.
I'm stealing some of that stuff.
I want to steal some of that stuff, too.
You can't steal some of that stuff.
Oh, well, I'm in training, too, bro.
Yeah, but you can't kick that.
Hard. Hold on. I just remembered we have an announcement to make.
I know.
The SummerSlam viewing party for everybody that's been wondering is actually pushing through this year.
Uh-huh!
So we have just confirmed that we are going to be holding the second annual SummerSlam viewing party at Wingman Acacia Estates.
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that's happening on Monday, August
22. It's huge, you know? The Wingman
that
there.
Space, yeah, that yeah, space yeah. is pretty huge, spacious. Man.
So it's Monday, August 22, 6 a.m., man. We're going to be there. And the best part is, unlike the fort, where parking prices are jacked up like Dave Bautista, parking sa Wingman Acacia Estates is flat rate 20 pesos.
Legit?
Yes.
Flat rate 20 pesos.
Cause, well, it's open air.
Okay.
Okay, that's still not bad. $20.
And you don't have to walk as far.
The place itself is open air?
Yeah, yung parking. Yung parking. Yeah. So you just walk from the parking to yung Wingman mismo and there. And you can have fun with the rest of us. And as usual, our friends from Fox, they're going to be part of it. We're going to give some shit away. And we're just going to mark out for SummerSlam. And for NXT Brooklyn, though, bahala na tayo. We're going to probably find some other place to crash.
Balay Camus might actually be open to doing this.
I don't think you want to do that. Like, open it up to everybody on the podcast.
Not everyone on the podcast.
The thing with that is not everyone goes to NXT, you know, takeover events. But
We've only had two.
Yeah. No. Here's the thing. We've done NXT takeover, and the crowd is always substantially smaller than the bigger pay-per-views.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why SummerSlam is
okay.
a priority.
I think Balay Camus is a fine place for such an event.
On a Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. Ah, tama.
Sunday morning.
Saturday siya.
Yeah, but we have training, man. We have boot camp.
We'll see.
But, you know, it's going to be lit. Brooklyn's going to be lit.
All right. And with that, we are going to be calling this one an episode. It's episode 126.
Sorry, YOLO Twins.
We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
And we are going to end this one with...
Glorious! No, I won't give in! I won't give in!